Yo, today is May 4th, 2023. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We are your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with current breaking news, culture, and dramatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. We bring on all Bitcoiners from the biggest names to the grumpiest of the grumpiest on Twitter. Anyways, guys, it's going to be a great show. Really, really excited. To the second in both of their representative parties, in the Republican Party and in the Democrat Party, the people in second place for the candidacy of the president are Robert Kennedy Jr. in the Democratic Party and Ron DeSantis. And both of them are pro-Bitcoin, anti-central bank digital currency. That's a big deal. When we talk about Bitcoin's neutrality, when we tell you that we don't lean left or right or right or left in the traditional, you know, fiat sense, we lean for the party of orange. Because at the end of the day, it's orange versus green. Green meaning central bank digital currency. This is really good news. Now, let's be realistic for a sec. Most likely, according to the latest polls, it's going to be Joe Biden versus Donald Trump again. Both of which we obviously know how the Biden administration feels about Bitcoin. In the last 2 months, they've been extremely hostile, in the presidential economic report, which we covered yesterday, and then the proposed 30% tax on Bitcoin miners. And then it was a long time ago where Donald Trump said that he wasn't a fan of Bitcoin, right? So this is kind of a big deal. And I think this is just because of Bitcoin's incentives. Bitcoin's incentives stay winning. And I think that as time progresses and the population gets older and more of a bigger percentage of the population is holding on to Bitcoin, it's going to be a politically undefensible position if you're anti-Bitcoin. So I think that's really what you're seeing here. Now, at the end of the day, they are politicians, so they are going to say the things that gets them votes. And that's true. Right. And, you know, a lot of people are like, dude, I don't trust them and whatever. I don't think you have to trust them. I trust their incentives. Right. So this is a very big deal. What I was worried about for a long time is, you know, it started to look a little bit partisan, where the Republican side of the of things just was a little bit more pro Bitcoin and the Democratic side was a little bit more hostile. That's different now, which is really, really, really awesome. Because the last thing that we want is for Bitcoin to become a partisan issue, because it's not. It helps everybody equally. It's the most equal, equitable money the world has ever seen. And I'm really, really glad this is happening. Also, I'm going to make a bit of an announcement in just a second. But before, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. Opti, how you doing, bro? I read your copy this morning. Totally butchered it. I saw you laughing in the background, but I love it. I'm gonna add probably my spin to it.
Yeah, you just put your spin to it.
I'm gonna put my spin to it. But I do like the copy. Anyways, what's up, dude? How you doing,
bro? Just another day doing what we love to do, which is talk about Bitcoin. But to your point that you opened your opening monologue, I think it's becoming very obvious to at least us, since we are always covering the news, that Bitcoin is becoming a point of contention for everyone. And there really is a fork in the road right now. What do you always say? It's Bitcoin or slavery. You know, it's freedom, or which is Bitcoin, or it is slavery, which is CBDCs. And again, I think to your point, I think it's good framing. Like, it's going to be indefensible to be anti-Bitcoin moving forward, and it's only a matter of time until most people wake up to that framing. And I think that's something that we just need to continuously beat the drum on, because it really is a dark world if the alternative of Bitcoin failing happens, which is a total dystopian, authoritarian, tyrannical world. And that's not the world I want to live in. And that's not the world that I, want to allow to happen. So I put my efforts towards spreading Bitcoin and spreading freedom and hoping that more people wake up to this. I really do believe that people, if given the choice, will choose to freely adopt Bitcoin. And this is why we do what we do.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I completely agree with you. This is the separation of money and state. This is the we're going through the thick of things right now. But this is a definitely a really, really exciting development, to say the least, in our battle for freedom. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's go straight into the numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2023. It's coming up, Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th. Literally, in less than a couple of weeks, you can use the promo code simply to get yourself a 10% discount to the tickets to the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2023. They made some very exciting speaker announcements. This is the gentleman that we're going to talk about today. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was just announced as a speaker. He's a presidential candidate for 2024. He's currently in second place in the Democratic primary, behind Joe Biden. And of course, we have Michael Lewis, author of The Big Short, Moneyball, which have been turned into feature films. We have Michael Saylor, Arthur Hayes, Alex Gladstein, Tulsi Gabbard, Eric Weinstein, Jack Maulers, Adam Back, Stacey Herbert, Senator Cynthia Lummis. We have a member of government from the country of Indonesia, 273 million people. He's going to be doing a fireside chat with Samson Mao, who has taken it upon himself to push Bitcoin nation state adoption. And of course, we have Lynn Alden as well. It's going to be really, really exciting. Opti and I are going to be holding it down on the analyst desk. I think I'm going to be on a couple panels as well. Really exciting stuff. But anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 28,935 sats per dollar, 3,456, block height 788,259, reachable Bitcoin nodes 17,096. Blocks to halving, 51,741. Halving estimates, April 22nd, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,403 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $156 million. The realized monetary inflation rate of Bitcoin currently is 1.75%, continuing to take fiat currencies to absolute school, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $560 billion with the B. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. Anyways, here's some reactions to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. speaking at the Bitcoin Congress, Bitcoin Conference, I apologize. Here is Congressman Brad Sherman. Other than Elizabeth Warren, he's extremely hostile towards Bitcoin. Here was one of his tweets. He said, 60 years ago, the late great Robert F. Kennedy went after tax evaders as U.S. Attorney General. Today, his son is slated to speak at a conference for tax evaders. I did a slight correction. I think what he meant by tax evaders is inflation evaders. Maybe it was a Freudian slip. Maybe I personally believe inflation is tax. So, but just a small correction there. Anyways, moving on, here is a tweet by Walker, who's part of the Crypto Couple. They do amazing stuff. Shout out to Carla as well. Some of the best memetics in the game. So it says, breaking, Congressman Brad Sherman calls his second biggest political donor a tax evader. Fidelity offers Bitcoin services and also invests in Bitcoin mining. Fidelity should pull any future funding for Sherman if he's going to accuse them of tax evasion. Amen. Fight fire with fire. Be on the offensive, not on the defensive. Anyways, here's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and goes on to say, cryptocurrencies led by Bitcoin, along with other crypto technologies, are a major innovation engine. It is a mistake for the U.S. government to hodl the industry and drive innovation elsewhere. Biden's proposed 30% tax on cryptocurrency mining is a bad idea. Use energy. Yes, energy use is a concern, parentheses, though somewhat overstated, but Bitcoin mining uses the same as video games, and no one is calling for a ban on those. And obviously, there's a reason that no one's calling for a ban on those, because video games aren't going to enable the separation of money and state. This is what we're telling you. Like, it's a straw man. They're trying to distract you. They're trying to use the environment as a guise. They're trying to use that as like a moral tactic. They're trying to play to the heartstrings of people. Oh my God, Bitcoin is boiling the oceans. What about what about electric vehicles? What about video games? Right? Why is that not being talked about? Of course, because it's not really a threat to the party of green. Anyways, a little pun there. The environmental argument is a selective pretext to suppress anything that threatens elite power structures. Bitcoin, for example. Some advocate tight control of cryptocurrencies to prevent their use by criminals. I tweeted this out the other day. Governments aren't concerned that Bitcoin is going to be used by criminals. Governments are concerned that everyone else is going to use Bitcoin. Anyway, some advocate tight controls of cryptocurrencies to prevent their use by criminals, but it isn't just criminals who want privacy. So do the dissidents or ordinary citizens. Government harass their enemies and crush dissent by controlling bank accounts and payment platforms. Until we restore trust in government, we need cash and crypto to ensure freedom. Just as a biodiverse ecosystem is a resilient ecosystem, so too will our economy be more resilient if it has a diverse ecology of currencies, not just a single centrally controlled one. We are seeing today how fragile our over-centralized system is. Now, what the really, really awesome part about this is that he is currently in second place, trailing Joe Biden. He came out the gate extremely strong, 16.4%. compared to Biden's 67%. And I think the another piece of good news as well is it's not just on the Democratic side that candidates are saying this. We played you the video of Ron DeSantis yesterday, literally going scorched earth on central bank digital currencies and using his power, being the governor of Florida, to say, you know what? Central bank digital currencies won't happen in the state of Florida, and also advocating for cryptocurrencies. They're not quite there. They're both talking. They're both commingling Bitcoin and crypto, which is unfortunate. But you know what? It's a step in the right direction. And these are both very powerful and popular political figures. Ron DeSantis is also in second place for the Republican presidential candidacy, and they're both on the party of orange, which is really awesome. Unfortunately, they're not pure orange. sprinkle a little bit of shit in there. It's like orange with sprinkled shit because of the cryptos. But you know what? It's a step in the right direction. All roads lead to Bitcoin. I think eventually, it's inevitability that they reached the end of the road, and the end of the road is Bitcoin, right? And look, give them a little bit of credit, right? The vast majority of Bitcoiners I've ever met, all went through a shitcoining phase, right? So, these are clearly, they're in the first innings of their orange pill journey, but it's really awesome that they're both advocating for freedom, and I can't emphasize the importance of the fact that they're coming from opposing political parties, really highlighting the fact that Bitcoin is for everybody. It doesn't matter how you lean ideologically speaking. So incredibly, incredibly bullish news. I can't overstate that enough. And dude, like, I know that they don't have a strong chance of winning the candidacy, either Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or Ron DeSantis. It's clearly Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the front runners, but you know what? It's not 100%. There is a small probability that in 2024 you might have a Bitcoiner as president in the White House. Holy cow! And boy, oh boy, would that change the name of the game altogether? And to be fair, right, they are politicians. They will say anything to get elected, to get the votes, right? Clearly, opposing central bank digital currencies right now is the current thing, the current popular thing. But you know what? I would rather have politicians that are vocally pro Bitcoin than politicians that are vocally anti Bitcoin, which is the current case with the Biden administration. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on all this, brother?
Well, I don't, at your very end point, I was just thinking of Elizabeth Warren, hence why I was laughing. But First and foremost, shouts out to Brad Sherman. He is by far my favorite politician, just because of his hysterical screeching in regards to Bitcoin. I legitimately wish more politicians were as transparent as Brad Sherman, because at least we know where he stands, and at least he knows like what the real fight is. And every time he talks, it absolutely makes me laugh like maniacally. He's by far my favorite politician. I would wish more politicians kind of come out to Brad Sherman's level of anti-Bitcoinness so that we can know how transparent they really are and where their incentives lie. But anyways, hold on. Excuse me, guys. To the Robert Kennedy tweets, first and foremost, it's Bitcoin, not crypto. I think everyone is saying this on Twitter. It's something that we try to talk about here a lot, is separating Bitcoin from crypto as much as possible. And, again, though, they're probably in the first innings. They're trying to be, I don't know, probably inclusive here and give some leeway to the possibilities of some shitcoin coming up on Bitcoin's heels. But we all know it's Bitcoin, not crypto. And to one of the points that we've been talking about here on the show for a long time, I am glad, like you said, that finally it is becoming a bipartisan issue. At least everyone on all aisles are finally starting to realize how Bitcoin can improve their lives. Like, it really blows my mind that Democrats and progressives hate Bitcoin so much. You would think that they would endorse money.
It's not like that anymore.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, I am glad that we are seeing this happen, because what do we say? Bitcoin is the most inclusive money in the world. It's the freest money in the world. It's the most equal money in the world. There is no favoritism in it. It is opt-in. And you would think that people that want to see the little man succeed would endorse Bitcoin. And it's just a shame that until up to this point, it's been hated on. But now we are seeing on both sides of the aisle that finally people are picking up on the signal. And so it's very awesome to see. Though, again, this is my caveat. I have my boy, I don't know what his name is today, Big Mac Coin or whatever. He's joking, calling a status. I kind of agree to a point. He is a politician, and like Nico said, politicians will say whatever they want for their voter base.
Let's clear that up, though.
I know. Let me go, and then go. So to a point, I do kind of feel that this is just some lip service, and until we see at least him kind of like flat out say, I will not make any laws that will impede Bitcoin. Until that point, I'm going to like bite my tongue and be like, hey, I think this is good for the conversation, like we've been saying, because there is a real fork in the road right now. It's like, are you for freedom or are you against freedom? And if you're not endorsing Bitcoin, you're not endorsing self-custody, then your incentives are suspect. And I want to see a politician come out and run on the platform that they will not hamper Bitcoin. They will not, tax Bitcoin. They will not stop Bitcoin innovation. And then I'll be like, okay, now that's someone I can get behind. But, until then, I just don't trust politicians. This is like my Bitcoin-ness.
I generally, I'm a libertarian. I don't like big government. I don't like government at all. I don't trust politicians either. I really believe in the theory from the sovereign individual that information technologies, the rise of information technologies and the power that gives individuals to either seek their own information or use whatever currency their heart desires. And because they have those newfound powers, they're going to have the ability to basically, vote with their feet and go to whatever jurisdiction treats them best, right? And I think that eventually, over time, is going to force the relationship between individuals and governments to change, right? And in the theory of the sovereign individual, it basically makes the case that governments are going to have to start acting like businesses, right, to keep their constituents, right, versus right now it's kind of like this shakedown type of process. So I really do believe in that theory, but I think that during the transition, which is what we're going through right now, we have to be wise, we have to be smart, and unfortunately we have to play the game, and this is part of the game. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. We got a lot to talk about. More bullish news coming out of the Kingdom of Bhutan. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. I also want to give a shout out to the Orange Pill app, Stack Friends, who stacks sats. It's the number one resource for Bitcoin-only events. Create a Bitcoin-only event. Find a Bitcoin-only event near you. Search by location, date. Are you going to Miami? I'm sure your day will be full of amazing speakers and talks, but what are you doing at night? There's nothing worse than being in a city full of Bitcoiners, but you're in your hotel room watching TV. Hop on the Orange Pill app events page and find all the Bitcoiner events around you on the fly. And of course, like if you're in a city and you don't know Bitcoiners around you, hop on the Orange Pill app and you'll find it's great. It's great to connect with Bitcoiners from all walks of life. And we really appreciate all the love and everybody reaching out. Holy cow, guys. Thank you so, so much. So we've been covering Bhutan for quite a bit. It is a very, very small country in the Himalayas. And there's been a couple developments. Like this is the first one. So the first one was the tiny kingdom of Bhutan secretly held millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. And they didn't want to reveal this. They didn't tell this to the media, which kind of makes sense. Look at how they treated El Salvador, right? But it came out because of the Celsius bankruptcy. So it kind of was exposed. And then shortly after, not only were they holding Bitcoin, but they were also, this is to quote the Forbes article, the Kingdom of Bhutan has been quietly mining Bitcoin for years. And then this is breaking news, came out yesterday. Bhutan plans a $500 million fund for crypto mining in the Himalayas. Bhutan's investment arm and NASDAQ-listed company Bitdeer Technologies Group plans to seek investors to fund worth up to $500 million that will be used to develop green crypto mining in the Himalayan kingdom. Fundraising targeted institutional investors will begin at the end of May, and the goal is to set up carbon-free digital mining that taps Bhutan's abundant hydroelectric power, according to a joint statement Wednesday. Mining is the least risky way for Bhutan to tap crypto opportunities, and for now the nation will focus on Bitcoin. The chief executive officer of the investment arm, Druck Holding and Investments, said in an interview, quote, "It's important for us to look at assets that are low volume, high value, or digital assets for that matter, and try to position ourselves in a way that we can be competitive globally over time to build our economy." The forest-laden Bhutan, sandwiched between China and India, has a population of 777,000 and has long sought to diversify an economy reliant on hydropower revenues. Druck manages the government's investments in traditional areas like stock, bonds, technology, energy, and real estate, but also Bitcoin mining. They say crypto, but it's really Bitcoin mining. Bitcoin mining and investment under what it calls future-facing strategy. Now, the key of all this, the buried lead, is here: to diversify an economy reliant on hydropower revenues. So that is amazing for Bitcoin miners, right? They clearly have an abundance of hydropower electricity. They produce more than they use, and that is perfect for Bitcoin miners because Bitcoin miners love cheap power. And there's a Bitcoin company also publicly listed called Bitfarms, and they also rely on massive hydroelectricity capacity in the country of Canada as well. So this isn't a new strategy that's being rolled out. And what's really interesting also is Bitcoin's incentives stay winning, right? With all the FUD, with all the BS happening everywhere, with all the BS and you know, stuff happening and all the narratives and all these things, Bitcoin's incentives are irresistible, right? If you're a country like Bhutan, right, massive amounts of hydroelectricity, you look at Bitcoin, you're like, oh, wow, that's a really good idea. And I'm sure that there's a tremendous amount of countries that are in a very similar position. I'm very bullish on Africa, for example, right? And think about it, right? So electricity, if you transport it over long period, like over long distances, it loses, every mile loses a percentage, right? So you kind of have to use it on the spot. And it's also not very effective to store. Like the battery technology isn't really good. So you kind of have to use it like right then and there, right? And that's what a lot of people and like the misrepresentations by the Biden administration, like the environmental FUD, like that's what they never take into consideration. Like they say like Bitcoin uses more country than the country, like Bitcoin uses more electricity than the country of Denmark. But it doesn't ask like what electricity is it using, right? Like Bitcoin miners can't use expensive electricity. They'll be priced out. It's uneconomical. Like they can't like set up shop in like the middle of New York City and be like, okay, let's mine Bitcoin and we're going to make the prices higher for everybody else. Like they have to go to where the electricity is cheap. And if the electricity is cheap, it's obviously because there's an excess supply of it. Right. So incredibly bullish. This is amazing. We're watching the peaceful Bitcoin revolution happen in front of our eyes in real time. Holy cow, on a political level here in the United States, on a global level. And I think it was yesterday's episode, Opti, where we covered the move by Jack Dorsey's company, Block, to diversify the production of ASICs, right? Because unfortunately, it's dominated right now by two Chinese companies. And I have nothing against China, but we do know that the CCP is hostile towards Bitcoin. Opti, what's your take on this? And then we move on to the culture, and we have a very special guest also as well. So we're really looking forward to that. What's your take on this, Opti?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you know, bullish on Bhutan. Shouts out to them. Shouts out to any country, because this, who said it right here, McLovin? Anyone also wonder about what other nations might be secretly mining / buying Bitcoin? Yeah, we've been talking about that for a while now on the show. And now we have the proof, and we have what we've been saying for a minute that, you know, that's the best part about Bitcoin. You don't have to tell everyone if you are mining Bitcoin, if you are saving in Bitcoin. That's one of the beauty of Bitcoin is this is a feature, not a bug. And so I'm bullish on any nation that has cheap electricity, cheap energy, and is starting to get into the Bitcoin mining game. And I don't know if you guys have been watching the hash rate, but it's going absolutely parabolic. I didn't check it this morning, but the last time I checked, it was like above 400 exahashes. Like it's absolutely going crazy. So any nation right now that is getting into the Bitcoin mining game, that is stacking Bitcoin, in my opinion, is going to propel them into the bright orange future, and they will position themselves to become a leader in the future of the world. Because, hey, look, as I said in the first part, there's a fork in the road right now. You can try to fight Bitcoin, or you can endorse Bitcoin and prosper. And what's a big coin, Big Mac coin, Opti's Big Mac coin in the chat said it best. Like, Bitcoin is not a negotiation. Like, Bitcoin is happening. You can try to ban yourself from Bitcoin. You can hamper yourself. You can shoot yourself in the foot. But Bitcoin is happening in real time. And anyone that is adopting the Bitcoin standard is going to prosper. We are seeing this happen in real time. The fiat system is very shaky, to say the least. You know, we're seeing banks blow up in the first world, which you don't see happen. It looks like we might be going not only in a recession, but maybe another global depression. And we have people out here fighting Bitcoin. It absolutely blows my mind. There is only one escape, and it is Bitcoin. So shouts out to Bhutan. Shouts out to any country that is endorsing Bitcoin right now, because they're going to win. We are winning.
They're going to win. And you actually said something really interesting about, you know, certain jurisdictions fighting Bitcoin. I was going to wait to bring up our guest during the culture segment, but might as well bring him up now because I want to get his take on it. Of course, we have Dennis Porter, the founder of the Satoshi Action Fund. You've been doing a tremendous amount of work fighting the enemies of Bitcoin mining. So what's your take on what's going on in Bhutan, man?
Well, great to be back on the show. Glad to see the two of you. Thank you for bringing me up early. Glad I could get my technical stuff sorted out in time. But yeah, glad to be here and talking about my absolutely favorite topic, which is Bitcoin mining. Yeah, there's people who love it. There's people who hate it. There are jurisdictions who are trying to attract it, and there are jurisdictions who are trying to push it out. It's always based off of somewhat of a misunderstanding around the technology. In New York, they put a two-year ban, a two-year moratorium on Bitcoin mining. Obviously, it's a little bit more detailed than just a strict ban, but it's, we'll call it a ban. And then also just, what is it, 2 days ago or yesterday, a county in North Carolina put a one-year stop, a one-year ban on Bitcoin mining there. And again, it's just either a misunderstanding of the technology, or in some ways, let's be honest, there are some bad actors out there that we as an industry need to be cleaning up, because in order for us to benefit from this technology, we can't be having these bad actors roaming around and causing problems. So if you're a bad actor out there, watch out. We want to make sure you are become a good actor. We don't want to have these people just going around pissing off local jurisdictions, local neighborhoods, and causing problems for the space. But super pumped about Bhutan, and I think more and more countries are going to be mining Bitcoin. Let's talk about Russia a little bit. I mean, they're just cranking away, number two in the world now on the hash rate, and we can't let them become number one, USA number one all the way on Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, 100%, right. And I think that's like a very tough pill to swallow for some politicians. Like, they don't realize that, you know, and Opti, I love his quote, right, which is like, you can't ban Bitcoin, you can only ban yourself from Bitcoin, right? So, you know, and I think for a lot of politicians, like, they think, okay, we're going to ban this thing, but it's like, you're just going to make the people that are paying the taxes, that are, you know, employing these people in your town. And you know, you have to be real. Like, the reality is that a lot of these Bitcoin miners, they go to very remote towns that normally wouldn't have these types of opportunities that Bitcoin miners are bringing to them. And, you know, it's like, you're basically killing the golden goose, you know, or the Bitcoin goose, better said. Right. So, yeah, man, it's just interesting how this is playing out. It's interesting how the game theory is playing out. But guys, before we get to the culture, we're going to focus on the Satoshi Action Fund, the Satoshi Action Fund, what Dennis Porter is working on nowadays. I want to tell you about how you're going to make it over the finish line with your generational wealth. And of course, you have to get yourself, you have to store your generational wealth on Steel. You have to store your Bitcoin wallet backup seed phrases. You have to do it on the BitPlates. It's a BitPlates domino. It's easy to use, hard to destroy, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, and it offers the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off. It's designed to preserve backup wallet backup. It's designed to preserve backup wallet, backup seed words, and passphrases. Get yourself a BitPlates domino today. Don't trust your generational wealth on paper. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, guys, before we get to the culture, I want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. Of course, if you have any questions, doubts, concerns, you could always reach me on Twitter DM. Anyways, Opti, what are we talking about today, brother?
Yeah, man. All right. So, Dennis, man, Nico is the first one to tell me this, but Nico always talks about the importance of getting involved and making a favorable political environment for Bitcoin. And while we're seeing, the federal government's hostility towards Bitcoin, we're seeing on a state level, it's a different story. So what is the political fight looking like currently? And what are you working on over there at the Satoshi Action Fund?
Yeah, it's a great question to dive into. And I would have to say, you know, props to Nico, because he definitely understands the need to be politically engaged, even though in some ways, you know, I would say Nico and I are like not on perfect alignment on where we'd probably go outside of Bitcoin when it comes to political issues. But the best part about Bitcoin is it brings people together from a diverse background and aligns them towards a singular mission. And that's advancing Bitcoin, because it is one of the most important causes that we can all be fighting for. And so we have taken a distinct effort at Satoshi Action Fund to fight for Bitcoin at the state level. The reason why is because at the state level, we can have a lot of progress. We can move things forward. And there just isn't a whole lot the federal government can do in the meantime, especially as Congress is currently divided. We have a Democrat Senate and a Republican House. You're not going to see a whole lot of movement happening in DC, although myself and many others will continue the educational work that needs to take place there for when there is a united government. In the meantime, we will be notching wins at the state level. We currently have passed a law protecting the right to mine Bitcoin in the state of Arkansas that was signed into law by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And then we are also about to sign that same exact law in Montana as well. Obviously, we can't guarantee anything, still waiting for that signature from the governor, but it's looking pretty promising. That same bill will potentially also pass in a third state, which would be Missouri. It's a little further behind in the process, so there's a lot of work that we still need to do in that state, but making a ton of headway so far. What we want to do is we want to get the three states to pass this law. Our hope is to beat my original strategy, which was derived from the marijuana industry. Those of you that don't understand this issue, I'll give you a quick recap. The marijuana industry has fought for decades to legalize THC marijuana products across the country. And they have had been hitting like no success until about 2012 to early 2010, when they started to shift their strategy on how they approach this issue. They started to go to the state level governments and convince policymakers and regulators there of the benefits of letting that industry grow in their state. They didn't go around and say, oh, I have, you know, I should be able to smoke whatever I want. I should be able to drink whatever I want or put whatever in my body that I want to. They instead turned around and said, if you legalize this industry, you can bring tax revenue, jobs, increase property value, decrease crime. Those are the actual talking points of that industry. And it worked successfully. They passed pro-marijuana legislation in Washington and Colorado in 2012. And now about a decade plus later, we have more than 75% of the country with pro-marijuana legislation on the books. I think we can do the exact same thing with Bitcoin. And I'm here to prove that we can with Satoshi Action Fund already on our way. They started with two states in the marijuana industry. They tried to do three. This is the funniest part. It's almost an exact replica of the first swing that they took. They started with Oregon, Washington, and Colorado. They got Washington and Colorado. We're starting with Arkansas, Montana, and Missouri. We've got Arkansas. We're about to get Montana. If we get a third, I'll be pretty proud of the work that we've progressed so far for our industry, for our space, and for all Bitcoiners across the United States.
And dude, and like, I kind of want to talk about that for a sec, right? Which is the ground up type of strategy, right? Rather than approaching it from the top, level, from the federal level. Kind of just you go from the bottom, you go from the state level, you make, you know, I call it Bitcoin Alamo states, right? Like the state of Texas, you know, we know how DeSantis feels about CBDCs. We know how he, you know, he's been pro, hate using the word crypto, but, you know, eventually he'll all sure. Roads lead to Bitcoin. But it's really awesome that, you know, the states that you're mentioning, like Arkansas, Montana, are getting it on their books that they are protecting this. Right. So even in the unlikely event, right, and, you know, Congress is so divided these days, even if, you know, we do have a united government, it's basically it's not a supermajority. Right. So, it's very, very unlikely. I don't see it happening, especially since I think the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see crazy Bitcoin adoption. I don't see, you know, the federal government coming together, Congress coming together and passing this anti-Bitcoin legislation, but it's like you're protecting it on the state level. So it makes it even more difficult. And I completely agree with you. Marijuana is very similar, right? The federal level, it's completely legal. But on the state level, the states are just like, you know what? It's legal here. And then you have the marijuana industry exploded, right? In California, it's taking off. Colorado, it's taking off. Oregon, it's taking off. Even though on the federal level, technically, it's still illegal. And I think that really highlights, you know, that one of the best things that I love about the United States is the sovereignty of the individual states, right? And how they could say, look, like, this is how we want to take this. This is how we want to do things. And another state that I want to mention as well is Wyoming. Wyoming passed a very, very strong law protecting private keys. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Dennis, but it was very, very powerful, that law, and it made me very, very happy when I saw that.
Yeah, extremely familiar with that law. In fact, that's one that we want to push across the United States as well. You know, for our organization, we are a Bitcoin mining focused entity and organization, but there are a lot of areas, policy areas that are pretty parallel to the work that we're doing. So we are very interested in protecting private keys. We are also interested broadly in any sort of anti-seizure type of laws. So that's a policy that we definitely agree on. And then as far as your, you know, comments on starting at the grassroots, starting as low as we can, I think we are very fortunate that we live in the United States, where states do have some level of sovereignty. In fact, I would love to see the states have even more sovereignty as we move forward. The federal government is too powerful. And I think it's one of the main reasons, I know it's one of the main reasons why our country is so divided, because as we fight over the federal government, we sort of like are willing to go all in order to get this power. Not only is the government just very bureaucratically controlling over the daily lives of Americans, they have the unlimited money printer, and they can do whatever they want with that unlimited money printer. I mean, that is the most powerful sort of like superpower that you could possibly have in modern history. Like, there's never been a more powerful money printer in recorded history that I know of, aside from the US dollar. So controlling the US dollar and how it gets printed is so valuable that Republicans and Democrats are practically willing to go to war with each other in order to acquire that power, that control. And that's why it's very dangerous when you start talking about things like CBDCs, because they not only extend the power of what you can do with money, they make it possible to turn money into something of like a political football, right? You can, used to be just control how the money's printed and where it goes. Now you can control how, where, and when people spend their money. You can turn on someone's money when they want to buy something, and you can turn it off. And that might be, let's say both sides of the aisle. You could take this on both sides. Some people on the left don't understand why I'm so anti-CBDC. I'm like, well, wait till a president gets into power, a Republican that you don't like, you think is an enemy of yours because you're on the left and you care about abortion rights. Well, what's, like, say they turn off abortion, the ability to buy an abortion just like that, or abortion pills. So it's really a tricky issue that I think we have to be careful with. And on the right, it's the same thing. Do you want to be able to buy a gun? Turn that off, Democrat in power. It's a very, very slippery slope that we go down when we start to give the ability for the federal government to control where and when and how you spend your hard-earned money. And I think we need to be doing everything possible to preempt CBDCs. And that's why I was happy to see you showed the tweet. I was happy to see North Carolina came in and they were banning CBDCs at the state level. I saw similar types of legislation in Florida. You know, this isn't our core mission as an organization, but I think it's something that's important to us, and it's important to a lot of people who care a lot about freedom.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Opti, what's your take on all this, brother?
Love it. Well, I actually have some more questions for Dennis. What is like the general perspective that you are getting from the politicians that you continuously talk to in regards to Bitcoin?
So it varies greatly. You know, sometimes we meet policymakers very, very interested in talking about the issue. I would say in general, the Overton window is shifted towards interest, caring about the issue. There's not a whole lot of people who are openly opposed to it. I mean, you do have your Elizabeth Warrens, you do have your Brad Sherman. So I think they will go to the end of their days in Congress. You know, they will retire from those offices still opposed to Bitcoin because they're so dug in on the issue. But generally speaking, people are very receptive to it. They're very open to it. And I think it has something to do with just the amount of time that Bitcoin's been around. So Bitcoin has been around for almost, 14 years now? And that's starting to make people realize this isn't going to go away anytime soon. And on the other side of the coin, you know, when it comes to talking about the benefits, we are just hammering those benefits all the time. Just like how the marijuana industry talked about their benefits, jobs, reduced crime, increased property values. We are spreading the message of how Bitcoin mining can be good for creating jobs, local investment, grid stability, environmental cleanup, and the ability to enhance green and carbon-free energy projects. And there's not a legislator on the planet who doesn't like those things. Every single person we talk to likes those things. And so we're making a lot of progress with that message. And people are coming together on it. And they, as you can see, are passing legislation to try to protect and bring this industry to their borders.
Absolutely love it. Okay. I am guessing that we have politicians, or at least people adjacent to politicians, listening to the show today. What would be your 1 to 2 minute elevator pitch for Bitcoin and why they should endorse Bitcoin?
elevator pitch for why they should endorse Bitcoin is because it'll give Americans an opportunity to protect themselves from the inflation that we know is to come. There is going to be at least a decade of inflation in front of us, and this asset gives Americans the opportunity to protect themselves from runaway inflation. We don't know how bad it will be, but we know it will be bad. On the other side of the coin, we also have a burgeoning industry, a nascent tech infrastructure called Bitcoin mining. Bitcoin mining can help balance grids. It can enhance renewables. It can solve a lot of the energy efficiency problems that we see today in the world, not only on the grid, but also in the oil and gas world as well. We can start to mitigate methane emissions, reduce emissions for the states, reduce emissions for the entire country by using this technology to mitigate methane and convert it and combust it and turn it into Bitcoin, which is something of value. So I think it's a very, very powerful technology. I think it's something that states should be doing everything possible to compete for. And I think that they will be. I think they're going to continue to do that. And any policymaker who wants to get in the game and make sure their state doesn't get left behind should get in contact with me or Satoshi Action Fund to make sure that they're passing pro-Bitcoin mining and pro-Bitcoin policy today.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then it also, I want to talk about this as well, Dennis, which is this, you know, we touched upon this very early on, but I suspect, you know, especially with the current administration, right, specifically with the Presidential Economic Report that they release on a yearly basis, they dedicated 20 entire pages to basically making the case as to why central bank digital currencies are necessary, why you need a state for money. The case for central banking. So you could tell like they are very hostile towards the industry. And I was actually I had Caitlin Long on Simply Bitcoin IRL. I think it was like a month.
Caitlin's
month
amazing.
Caitlin is awesome. A month or two ago, and it was like about a month ago. And she basically said she said that the reason the orders to deny her federal banking charter for Custodia Bank came direct from the top, right? So we know this current administration, you know, we know how they feel about Bitcoin. It's not a theory anymore. They just came out and said, hey, we want to tax Bitcoin miners 30%. So they're really hell-bent on at least stopping this moving or slowing it down. But I think that what they don't realize, and I think that there's been a lot of politicians that are aware of this, is that you're just going to risk the industry leaving. You're going to risk the industry going overseas, right? They'll just move. This same thing happened in China, right? It was like, no, there's no way that, you know, all these miners are going to leave China. When the CCP banned Bitcoin mining within its borders, the hash rate fell by like 50, 60%. It recovered in 8 months and now it's making an all-time high. And all those miners just went to where they were treated best. Just like, when are politicians going to realize this? Like, it's like you're only hurting yourself and your local jurisdiction. You're not trying to, you're not achieving what it is you seek to achieve, which is to make this thing disappear altogether. It's not going away, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, that's why I fight so hard to make sure that policymakers are educated on the issue so that they work hard to attract the industry, because I want us as the United States, not only to benefit, I want us to lead on this technology like we have led on other technologies in the past. And so it's important that our policymakers and regulators know the value of this technology. And I'm glad you brought up Caitlin Long, because I think it's really important also that we make sure that within the banking sector, that we make proper advancements for the space. I know a lot of us live in a world where we traditionally want to see banks kind of lower their importance, so to speak, for the space. We want to see it become easier and easier to use Bitcoin and less relevant to use banks. But unfortunately, we still kind of live in this transitionary period where I think the majority of people, especially businesses, if you've got a Bitcoin business, I mean, you know, you need a bank. Like, you cannot operate without a bank at this point. You can't operate on Bitcoin. There's just not enough people who accept Bitcoin as a form of money within the business world to be able to operate properly. So her getting her Fed Master account was really critical so that, you know, her state chartered bank, Custodia, could link up to other banks within the you know, financial system. I'm looking hard into this issue, hopefully that we can find a way to move forward on it. I think it's really important that we do enable the United States to allow crypto banking. I say crypto banking, but it's obviously very much so, I believe, in Bitcoin as the, you know, the base layer and the thing that's going to obviously take up 99.9% of the market share as we move forward. But I'm glad you brought it up because it's something that I think could possibly be done at the state level. We're looking into potential avenues for how that could take place. And it's one of those things, though, that for us at Satoshi Action, we also launched our Satoshi Action Education, which is our research arm. So if anyone is interested in helping us to be able to find resources to go tackle this issue and be able to solve the problem that we have with the banking crisis in the United States, or choke point 2.0 is kind of what they would call it, we are actively looking for ways to research and solve that at the state level. Tying it into the marijuana industry analogy here again, you know, the marijuana industry has the same exact problem. They are not allowed to be banked federally because of the fact that possessing, distributing, growing marijuana is still a federal crime. And so they're blocked out of federal banking. So we are looking into how they've solved this problem to be able to solve the problem that we have today as well.
100%. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for joining us today on Simply Bitcoin. Really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody everyone knows what you're working on these days, but why don't you tell everybody where they could find you?
Absolutely. And thank you again for having me on the show. Look forward to coming back again in the future. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can go to @Dennis_Porter_. And if you want to go to our website, you can go to satoshiaction.io. We are looking for monthly supporters. So if you like the work we're doing, go there and you can donate Bitcoin or you can donate fiat.
All right, man. Well, really, really appreciate you joining us, like I said, and keep up the good fight, man. All right, guys, no more delay. Let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom Racks.
All right, Opie. What do you have for us today, brother?
I don't know, but the Kaboom Racks cracks me up every day. Kaboom Racks. All right, guys, you already know. This is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show where you send us memes and we cover them live, where you watch me butcher your memes and try to explain these pictures. I know that's your favorite aspect of this, but tag me on Twitter, drop memes in our Telegram group, and I will find a few of them because I get tagged in a lot of them, and I'll bring them on the show. As you guys know, we are in an information war, and it's upon every single one of us to put our hat in the ring, to spread the signal, get the calls of actions out there, ridicule the corporate press so that we can show them to be the mockery that they really are. And we do this via memes. And all you guys out there, all you shit posters, Bitcoin memers, are the real MVPs. Anyways, this first meme is by our friend, the BTC therapist. And he just put it in a tweet. #BTC is the only way out. And I know all you Bitcoiners are macro analysts now, and you were so concerned about the FOMC meeting yesterday and what the Fed was going to do. Well, as Bitcoiners, we're just like, guys, just adopt Bitcoin at this point. Anyways, this is a picture that the BTC therapist put on. And we got Jerome Powell here holding on by a small little twig in one hand. And in the other hand, he's got a big old bag of debt. And if he wants to survive this plane crash by the bricks, he needs to let go of debt and hold on to Bitcoin. This is the way. I mean, perfect segue from what we've been talking about today, whether it was Bhutan, whether it's what Dennis is talking about and getting politically involved and seeing on a federal level that they are fighting Bitcoin. But hey, on a state level, there is hope. Anyways, this next meme is by DirGG, but there is a little context here. So apparently Wall Street Bets made some shitcoin on subreddit, and then some big bag holder dumped their holdings, and apparently their shitcoin got rugged. Story as old as time. Anyways, we got Druid and goes, rug pulled, and then we got Adam back here, and he goes, rugs are designed for pooling. Stop buying rugs. Buy Bitcoin. Dominance index needs to be over 95% again. And then we got DirGG here, and he goes, the great rug. And this is the meme here is a rug, you know, a nice Persian rug here. And it goes, where there is trust in others, there is a rug. Satoshi Nakamoto paraphrased, where there is trust in others, there's a rug. Guys, reread the first two paragraphs of the white paper. And this is what Satoshi was saying. Where there's trust in others, there is a rug. And we are seeing the rug happens not just in shitcoin land, but also in traditional banking. And we got this meme from Toxicat. He actually dropped this in our Telegram group, but then I went and looked on his Twitter and he dropped it there as well, so I can post it for you guys. So we got a tweet here by the Kobayashi letter, and it goes, breaking, regional bank stocks are crashing after hours as PacWest says they are looking for a buyer. PacWest now down 57%. Western Alliance Bank now down 30%. Metropolitan Bank now down 20%. And 2 hours ago, the Fed said the system is strong. And we got Eric Andre here going, wait, didn't he just say the banking sector is fine? What is going on here? It's almost like the banking system is about to blow up. But hey, what do we know? They could probably kick the can down the road a lot longer, but it doesn't matter to us. We are Bitcoiners. Hopefully, this is the big hopefully, and this is the only way you really own Bitcoin. You have your Bitcoin in cold storage, and it's not on an exchange. It's under private keys that you control. Anyways, this next meme is by Maxi's Club, continuously killing it on Twitter. And I think there's a Maxi's Club animation now. I haven't checked it out yet, but I see you're doing good work out there, Maxi's Club. Anyways, 384 always has been. And we got the classic meme of, obviously this is pepified by Maxi's Club, where you cut off the branch. But we got scams, and we got shitcoiners cutting off the branch to scams, and then we got CBDCs cutting off the branch to shitcoins, and then we got the Bitcoiner axing the whole tree because it's scams all the way down unless you're in Bitcoin. This is the only way to make it out of the system alive. Anyways, this next meme is by Vivek for Real _. And I really felt this one because it reminds me of something that our friend Tucson said here on the show, or rather maybe in spaces, the idea that you can be on a hyper Bitcoinized world today if you only hang out with Bitcoiners and if you buy the things, the goods and services you want with Bitcoin today. Anyways, he goes, how it feels to be already in hyper Bitcoinization while the whole world is still on the fiat standard and you got this astronaut sitting by the river contemplating their life, but also in Bitcoin Zen. This is the way, guys. Find ways to get goods and services by Bitcoiners. Hang out with Bitcoiners, maybe on Orange Pill app, or, you know, your local meetups, or actually find your local meetups on Orange Pill apps, or, you know, cultivate more Bitcoiners around you. This is the way, guys. Anyways, this next one, I really like this one because it reminds me of all the rap albums I grew up as a child with the parental advisory explicit content sticker on it. Anyways, Mordecai one goes, fiat got nothing on me, bro. And he tagged us. And here's a picture of Shaq as Bitcoin dunking on, I think this is Sacramento Kings, but it's the dollar. Bitcoin just constantly dunks on the dollar and we stay winning. Bitcoin incentives stay winning. And as we move forward in time, it's just going to become clearer and clearer that Bitcoin is winning. There is a fork in the road, guys.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
There is Bitcoin and there is slavery. There is a life filled with prosperity on Bitcoin, and there's a life of theft on fiat. Anyways, shouts out to Opti's Big Mac coin in the chat. He's absolutely devastated because he's been sending me Bob memes on Twitter for, I don't know, years now. And I'm usually like, I can't put these on YouTube because YouTube no likes nudity. But apparently, Nika said this one is good to go.
Well, I mean, so- Corey recommended it. So
we got this meme by @_J_.
We will not do this regularly.
Oh, okay.
One time.
Opti's Big Mac coin in disbelief. Wrecked. Anyways, it goes, # Bitcoin meme of the day. Corey clips and he goes, this is more on brand for Simply Bitcoin. And then Nico tags me and goes, Opti, looks like we got a new one for the meme review. Anyways, I'm pretty sure How I Met Your Mother is PG-13 on television, so this should be good for YouTube. Anyways, apparently this meme is by @TheFatBitcoin. And we got, what's this guy's name again? I forget what this guy's name is.
I don't know.
Whatever. The main guy, the Chad guy in the show that is a complete degen. Anyways, he's sitting there and it goes, me, and there's a waitress that just shitcoins and her boobs are all in his face. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at the girl he likes over here and it's Bitcoin. And he looks away from the bobs, which is me, simply looking on Bitcoin. Avoid the shitcoins. It is Bitcoin, not crypto. This is the way, boys and girls. Do not, what's that from the Matrix? Do not get distracted by the lady in the red dress. It is a shit coin. Bitcoin only.
Speaking of the Matrix, I'm going to give it a Matrix score.
Wait. Drop your meme review in the chat. Score in the chat so we can cover it.
If you watch the Matrix, you will understand this reference.
you are a battery opt out of the fiat matrix.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
My meme review score is a single coffee bean.
Okay.
It fell on the floor. So now it's nice. My score, but there's a single coffee bean. You know me, I get jacked up on coffee every single day. This is the way.
All right, guys, before we get to the scores, I want to give a very special shout out to our merch sponsor, Opti. I wear the merch every single day. I'm wearing the camo grenade hoodie. Opti's wearing the Simply Bitcoin dad hat, which, by the way, it seems
sold
like
out.
Sold out again. Wow.
But there is fitted hats, I believe, still. Okay. I'd have to go check.
There's some in stock. You guys have to get it while supplies last. Check out all their other merch that they drop regularly. You got to go to representltd.com, and you could use promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a nice discount. Anyways, Opti, let's get to some of the scores.
Hold on. As they come in, proof of work. Very innocent meme. Very innocent memes, Nico. Okay, let's see. First score, Nico. There you go.
The P-Man Van. One ColocoVision
ColocoVision?
ColocoVision Burger Time cassette. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but let's go.
Andy, I give it two bobs up.
Perfect.
Very nice. It's basic biology, the expiration date on Neo's passport. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. What was that again?
I have to check that out.
It's a good date. I forget what the date is, but it's a good date.
I have to check that out. All right. Next one. The Roman Stack Sats meme score. Were you paying attention or were you looking at cheap money?
Ooh, that's a good one. All right.
Next one.
Buzzer. Oh, wait. One more.
All right, Randmore, a stand-up reaction, Ekeek?
If you know, you know. Dude, wow. Do you even internet, bro?
Apparently not. Anyways, everybody, also check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. Shout out to Darthcoin. He absolutely holds it down. You got to go to www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. Join the party. We're almost at 1,000 people in there. It's a party. It's a good old time. And also, if you want to help support the show, subscribe to our Substack. Go to simplybitcoin.news. We're dropping the written version of this show, Hot Fire, on a regular basis. Everything we do is free, but if you do want to support the show, we really, really appreciate it. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution forward is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Don't share shitcoin content because it's counterproductive. Anyways, we love you all. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin. Oh, also, if you want to join the after party, we're holding it down until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin, best place to build your Bitcoin stack. Shout out to the best producer in the game, producer Jacob. So if you want to hang out with Opti and just hang around and talk Bitcoin, join the Simply Bitcoin Twitter spaces. If you're following Swan or Simply, just you'll see it at the top and join the conversation.
Wait, Nico, before we go, didn't you say there was a special announcement today or something? Or was that just a special guest announcement?
There's a special guest announcement.
Oh, I thought that was a special announcement. Anyways, whatever. I'll see you in spaces, guys.
All right, guys. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Oh. Hold on. I was bringing people up. All right, guys. You already know the deal. This is the Simply Bitcoin Spaces, a Bitcoin-only spaces by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. So come up here, add two sats to the conversation, and let's continuously spread the signal. But if not, you can just kick back, hang out, and listen to Bitcoiners talk about Bitcoin like we do every single day. Anyways, first and foremost, what's your name? What's your name now? You change it so much on me, I forget what it is.